So we're in Sefer Chovos HaLevavos Perek Shabbat Elchon Perek Gimel. He's starting now to talk about Parnassa. Why did Hashem make the world in the way that He made it, that a person has to put an effort for Parnassa? Why didn't Hashem make the world in a way that a person could find everything that he needs ready prepared? And this question really goes back to Gan Eden. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu had initially made the world in a way that was ready prepared. But the way we find ourselves right now, Hashem made it in a way that you have to put an effort for pranasa. And why is it like that? The design of the world is not random. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is we come into the world and we just accept the rules. If a baby would see someone drop something on the floor and it falls down, the baby gets excited. Look, it fell. And if an adult would see something fall down, they wouldn't get excited because they're used to that happening. If something would start floating upwards, the baby would have the same level of excitement. He would say, oh, wow, look, it's going up. There's no difference between it falling down and going up from the baby's perspective. But for an adult, would say, oh, what's going on? It's going upwards. They would get all excited. And there are certain things that we've got all used to, and we aren't mitpael. We don't get excited about them. And when we come into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, we don't get excited about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. We just assume it is that way, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But really, in truth, you can question everything. And you could say Hashem didn't have to make it that way. There could be other ways that Hashem could have made it. He's all powerful. And therefore, if Hashem made the world a certain way, you have to question. You'd say, why did Hashem make the world this way, not a different way? There's obviously some message in here. One amazing example of this, which one of the Baalei Mussar, right, is when Adam HaRishon was created, he didn't have parents. He just came into the world age 20. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have made that throughout history, that everyone who would be born like Adam Rishon was born. He just come into the world age 20. It could have been like that if he wanted to. We're so used to that concept of parents and pregnancy and birth that we never think to ask that. That's the fact is, that's the way it is. But if you contemplate why did Hashem do it in that way, you can come to deeper understanding. And you can recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make a model of parent-child so we would be in a situation where we would feel totally dependent on someone else who's more advanced, who's greater. And we would have a sense of HaKaras HaTov, that greater force that invests in us. And then we would have a model to whom we could use in our minds as an image to relate to Hashem. Obviously, that's not enough. You have to think even broader terms to go beyond the parents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it gives you a model. Now, you have to be able to think broadly to have that understand. You have to think, don't accept the world the way it is. Rather question, Hashem made it for a purpose. What's the reason He made it in the way that He made it? Think deeply and say, ah, that's Hashem's design. I understand perhaps what He's getting to. So in our context here, it's why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world? You have to put an effort for Parnassus. He didn't have to make it that way. He could have made it like Adam HaRishon, just found food ready made. Tam echad, mikevan shechokhmat ha-borei matz'a lenachon lasot et ha-adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the world in a way which we're in a test. We're in a constant test. Mitzvah Shem also said this in the beginning. One of the three purposes of man being created is to be tested. Im hu ya'avod et Elokim o yamre oto. How we're going to serve Hashem. Are we going to be loyal and devoted to Hashem, or are we going to rebel against Hashem? That's our purpose of being in the world. We're in a sense, like a game, where we're seeing like how well are you going to play the game. That's part of our purpose in the world. L'chein ne'emitoto ha-borei v'mivchan. And therefore, the world is a test. Now, the truth is that people like that. I'm not talking about lazy people who are just saying, get off my back, I want to sit on the couch and watch television. People who are worthwhile people, elegant people, people who are noble people, they're always looking to grow, they're always looking to learn, they're looking for a challenge. And if you say to them, do you want an easy way out where you can basically do nothing, they'll say, I won't feel fulfilled from them. And they'll look for a challenge that they can prove themselves, they can elevate themselves, they can grow. People who are elevated, worthwhile, oriented people, growth-oriented people, that's how they think, that's what they want. And they feel a sense of satisfaction as a result. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the world in a way that you can always be growing, by giving you a test. And the main test that He gave, often barur ba'ezeh derech u'bachar, ha'adam nivraz zakuk v'nitzrach ladavrim v'bachut, He made you in a way that you're always needy and dependent on something else. That way you're always going to, the world is always going to be running around, how are you going to fulfill this need? If a person has everything given to him, he doesn't have a sense of needing to prove himself, needing to, for example, a person's hungry. He doesn't have food. So one level is that the person could just say, forget the bracha, I'm so hungry, and just put it in his mouth. And one, he could pause and say, I recognize it comes from Hashem. Or, take it one step higher, he could make the bracha without thinking, just out of habit he makes the bracha and puts it in his mouth. Or he could say, one second, Hashem designed brachas for a reason. He could pause, think about the fact that this comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he could eat it. The concept of brachas is a place of constantly being tested. Are you in tune with Hashem? And then within business, you could always make more money. Oh, the word always is not accurate. It's often possible that a person could make more money not being straight. He could overcharge, he could lie about the quality, and he has the chance of making more money. So you're constantly in a test. So if you have a need, that need can be fulfilled in legitimate or non-legitimate ways. Sometimes externally it looks like you'll make more money in illegitimate ways, and you're put in a test. Now, people who think deeply will say, I'm happy that I'm in a test. I'm happy, because now I get a chance to prove myself. If I wasn't being tested, it wouldn't be valuable. It wouldn't be an achievement that I did anything. Now that you know that you're in a test, you feel much more grateful to this Baruch Hu, that you're doing something valuable, worthwhile, you've grown, you've improved, you've achieved, by the fact that you weren't just to begin with. The fact that we're hungry and that we need food is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's major way of enabling us to grow by having a daily, constant daily test in brachos that we make, the types of foods that we eat, and the way that we accomplish the money towards the food. Ochel, mashke, halbasha, dira, isha. No, we're not just talking about food here, but food, drink, clothing, a home, getting married. Tiva borei la'adam lachazer achar davrim ha'ele, la'asig otam al-yedei emtsaim she'echin l'shem kach. And Hashem designed you in a way where you'll have an innate recognition that you need to be accomplishing these things, and He gives you guidelines. These are the rules of the game. This is a legitimate way of getting married, this is an illegitimate way of getting married. This is a legitimate way of having parnasa, this is an illegitimate way of getting parnasa. The game is yours. I give you total free will. Let's see how you're going to play. And that way a person has the ability to grow, elevate, improve himself. And anyone, when you're an Hashem coming into the world, if Hashem would say, do you want to be a vegetable in a hospital, on a life machine, where you're not being tested in any way, and you could live out your life without any tests? Or would you rather be in a place of test where you have great opportunities, but it's a challenge? And Hashem turns to Kodesh Baruch Hu and says, I'd rather not be in the test to begin with. But if I Kodesh Baruch Hu, you put me in a test, I want to make it, put me in an opportunity where I can grow. Give me a test, give me a Yetzer Tov, that I'll have the encouragement, I'll have recognition, give me Torah, give me guidelines, don't leave me and abandon me. But if you give me the guidelines, if you tell me the halachas, and you give me Musa Svarim, that I can understand the proper way that a person should act and behave, practice, if you give me that, I want it. And then a Shomer comes to the world saying, I will be a tzaddik, I won't be a Rasha, and it promises that Kodesh Baruch Hu that will be devoted and loyal, because it knows that it has the guidelines. It's not being thrown into an empty, dark world. To be given a guideline. That's a test that a Kodesh Baruch Hu puts in. That's the game that we're playing. That's our role in the world. Bedrachim mesuyamot v'zmanim mesuyamim, mitzvot and Shabbos and Yontif. Ve'ele devrim shaborei gazar shiyuchal adam la'asig otam, ya'aleh b'yad adam la'agi aleihem. Now part of the contract that we have with Hashem is that if you do everything legitimately according to halacha, according to the rules, then you won't lose out. Now it could be you'll be hungry sometimes, but you won't lose out in the real end goal. I mean, the winning here is not the winning being full. The winning here is the winning being close to Hashem. And if you're following Hashem's rules, you'll never lose. That's considered a win. I think I may have told the story before, but it's worth repeating. My grandfather, Alav Hashalom, Yisrael Moshe, he was once in a business interaction. So I think I told the story recently. And the person was trying to not do an honest business deal with my grandfather. And my grandfather just stepped out of the whole deal. And he lost a lot of money from it. He invested a lot, he paid lawyers, he done a lot of work to get that stage, and he just stepped out. And he lost money. So him stepping out, was that a win or a lose? Financially, it was a lose. Morally, it was a win. Morally, he walked away a clean person. He walked away an honest individual. So he saw it as a win. So you see, sometimes you can do an act which on one level is a lose and on one level is a win. It just depends what you define your level to be. If your level is getting the money no matter what the means are, then you'll say, I define a win by trampling on the people, tricking, cheating, doesn't make a difference, I won. And you're laughing all the way to the bank, I won the game, I got the money. Someone else will define the win as, I held to my moral level. That's more important to me than having more money. And he'll be laughing in Shomai. And he'll be saying, I was willing to give up so much money in order to remain loyal and devoted and honest and straight. So what's a win? You define what a win is. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guaranteeing you here that He will give you rules, and if you follow the rules, you win. What does it mean you win? You might lose money. You might not get the deal, you might not get the house, you might lose. Just think of it, sometimes a person has a certain amount of money, and he wants to buy a house. But he has the obligation of Ma'aseh Kesafim. And if he gives Ma'aseh Kesafim, he's going to have to buy a slightly smaller house. Because part of the money went to Tzedakah. So what should he do? So there's a sense of, but it's my money. But you think, no, but one second, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's money. And he's giving me 90%. It's a good deal. Hashem gave me 90% of the money. And he's only asking for 10% in return. So how do you look at it? You look at it, it's all your money and you have to give away 10%? Or do you look at it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you 90% and you just have to return to him 10% of what was his to begin with? If you look at it, you only have 90%. You won't have dreams to begin with of a large house. You won't even think that. You'll think to yourself from the beginning. From the beginning you'll be thinking, I have 90%. Depends what your mindset is. Well, my mindset is a halachic mindset. Then from the beginning, it's not an issue. It's not a challenge. That's how much money you have. Go look for a house that you can buy with the 90% of the money that you have. That's the way that you'll look at it. So you'll never lose out. You'll never lose out because you're in line with the Kadosh Baruch Hu's will. And if you start thinking, no, I know that I have to cheat to get this, I know I have to lie, and I have to steal, and I have to act a little bit immoral to get this, but that's what I want, so I'm going to do it. But those are things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined that you shouldn't be getting. And if the only way you can get there is through rivers, if the only way you can get there, if the only way you can get there is through lying, if the only way you can get there is through overcharging, if the only way you can get there, then that means HaShem determined you should not have that. And if you say, no, I want it anyway, then you're trying to take something which HaShem determined you shouldn't have. It's HaShem's will that you don't have that. And if you say, I don't care, I'm going to push through to get it, lo ya'aleh bi'ador la'agi aleihem. Hashem will stop you. Now, if he's kind, he stops you. If he's not kind, he won't stop you. Hashem gives you free will. There's a certain place where Hashem still believes in you, and then he'll say, okay, I'm going to make sure that you won't get to do that very to begin with. Like, I don't know if this ever happened to someone, but if it ever happened to you, you're about to say something which probably you shouldn't say, and then you forgot what you were going to say. Or you're about to send a message which you probably shouldn't send, and then like the phone just died at that minute. If that's ever happened to you, it's a blessing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like, and they're trying to remember what it was. What was I going to say? He's like, no, don't remember it. It's a blessing from Hashem that you forgot it. If you forgot what you were going to say, it probably was better than you didn't say it to begin with. It was a blessing from Hashem. He doesn't always bless you. Sometimes He lets you go. Sometimes He gives you free will. Sometimes from Shemaim He gives you a gift, and you forget the inappropriate thing. Hold on to those times. Say, thank you, Hashem, that I forgot it. You saved me at the right time. You're about to send a message, the phone died. Thank God the phone died at the right time. Thank you, Hashem. He doesn't always give you that gift. Sometimes if you wish to and you're determined enough, He'll let you do a bad thing. He'll let you do averus. He'll let you seemingly accomplish things which in this world are against the will of Hashem. And you'll say, it was worth pushing through, it was worth accomplishing. It maybe looked like it's worth it on a physical level. But on a spiritual level, it took you a step back. It took you away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if it wasn't worthwhile. And that's our purpose in this world. You'll be tested in this world with the need to accomplish something. Hashem will give you either a physical or a psychological need to have certain things in your life, and you will need to accomplish them, and there will be two ways of getting it. There will be the legitimate way halachically, and there will be the illegitimate way halachically, and your test in this world is yes to fulfill your needs, yes to answer that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, and have guidelines and guidance of the ways Hashem wants you to get it, and then a fear of sometimes wanting the other way, and then saying, I'm doing Hashem's will. And whatever the other thing is not Hashem's will, and make your will Hashem's will. That's your purpose here in this world. To align your will with Hashem's will. And therefore, if it's the other thing is out of the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, you say, well, then I don't want it. Well, then I don't want it. Just like with the Rambam writes, that when you look at food which is not kosher, you're allowed to say, it looks tasty. But it's the will of Hashem, I don't want it. You don't have to make up a lie and say, I don't want it. It's not tasty to me. You should be honest. You should be authentic. Say, it might be that pork is very tasty. It may be. I do have a desire to have more money. And if I would cheat and lie and steal and take ribbons, I would have more money. I'm not saying I don't have that desire. That's a natural desire that Hashem gave me. But it's the will of Hashem, I don't do it. And it's more important to me to do the will of Hashem than it is to have more money. I'm not pretending I don't want it. I want it, but I want Hashem's will more. I'm choosing Hashem in my life. That's the test of man. Im hu avad Elokim hu avad et ritzono. You're allowed to say you have another will. You're allowed to. The test is whether you're going to go after Hashem's will or your will. Mitbarer mitoch kavanato b'chiyato b'ezem eshtei adrachim ubachar l'shem atzagat tzlachav. In this world, it looks like a person will get honor, acclaim, if he's more wealthy, if he made good business deals, if he wears fancier clothing, if he makes funny and witty comments. That's what looks like will give him acclaim in this world. And maybe other people in this world will be laughing and encouraging him. But against the Shemayim, that's where those things he'll be very ashamed of, he'll be very embarrassed of. And in Shemayim, they'll say, were you able to hold back from making that witty comment that you wanted to make at that time? Well, you know everyone would have laughed, and everyone would have said, good one, mate. Everyone would have said, what a good joke you made. But you were able to hold yourself back, and you're able to say, the person's honor who I'm talking to is more important to me than my acclaim amongst my friends. And in Shemayim, they'll be appraising you and applauding you. And then you'll feel much more sense of acclaim spiritually than you will physically in this world. If you make a great business deal, which meant a little bit of cheating or changing numbers or changing figures, in this world everyone will say, ah, well done, you did a good deal, look how much you accomplished. You'll be able to buy more things for yourself, and short term you can feel happy about it. But long term, in Yod HaShemayim, you'll be embarrassed and ashamed of those things. And a person who's noble, a person who's ethical, a person who's moral, then he taps into that inner neshama. And he says, I already feel in this world what the right path is, Hashem's path. And he makes the decisions now. Well, short term, he may feel like he's losing out. But ultimately, he knows he's making a right decision. And long term, he'll be very, very grateful. He'll look back and he won't regret. Even if he doesn't have enough money. But he won't regret. He'll say, but I know I was an honest individual. I know I did the right thing. Even if it's true that I had a hard time financially, I know I did the right thing. And that's more important to me than having more money, but not having a sense of that I exist as a moral, ethical being. That's the first reason that Hashem tests us in this world. Atama Sheni, the second reason why there's no obvious parnasa given to us, Ki'ilu haya, lo haya adam tzirich letroch v'lechazer v'lafil emtzayim l'hasagat parnasatao, az haya bo'et ba'ashem v'rodef achrei averot. ולא היה שם לב לחובות המוטלות כלפי אלוקים, תמונות הטובות שהוא מיטיב עמו. This is similar to what we said at the beginning about having parents. The first point was, you're being tested to see are you going to follow Hashem's will or not. The second is, Hashem wants you to be in a state of feeling lacking, feeling obligated, feeling dependent, recognizing that you're not the end of the world. This is especially true what's happening now in these times. At times when a person feels in control, he forgets about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person loses his sense of control, now, how are we losing control right now? Through something that you could only see on a microscope. Meaning you feel that you can control big things. And it's something you can't even see, which is now controlling the entire world. The entire world is overturned right now for something which you can't even see. It's microscopic. And you recognize you're not in control. There are things in this world which you do not control. Hashem wanted us to have that sense of constantly being dependent on Him, turning to Him, recognizing Him, praying to Him, having a relationship with Him. That's how Hashem made the man. In the man, when we were in the desert, you could not store man overnight. From day to day, we had a sense of being dependent on Hashem. Will we have food tomorrow? Will our Kodesh Baruch Hu give? And we saw day by day Hashem giving us the food. We recognized Hashem providing for us on a daily basis. I once heard a nice mashal from Rav Amital. He writes, I read him, Hashem Shalom. He writes that there are two types of ways of paying for a parent in an old age home. There's one way where you make a stop order, horat keva, where the money goes directly from the bank every month. There's one way where you go in, and you bring with you cash, and you speak to the manager, and you see how the nurses are taking care of the parents, and you pay the money, and you inquire, and you ask. The first way, technically you're paying, but there's no relationship. There's no involvement, there's no investment. Now that the old age home like that way better, don't get involved, we don't care about you really, we just want the money, and we'll do our job, don't get too involved. But the parents will be much more appreciative if you're coming and visiting, you're checking, ensuring that the proper care is being taken care of, you're paying the money, you have the recognition that you're involved and there's a relationship going on. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a curse to the Nachash, the curse he gave was, you'll find food wherever you go. And it looks to us like it's a blessing. You have food wherever you go. Fantastic. You're never going to be hungry. But you recognize from the Torah's perspective, paying on a stop order, where the money just is always there the whole time, telling the nachash, you can eat whatever you want, wherever you go, is saying there's no relationship. Here you go. Lahavdil, lahavdil, is like parents saying, here's a credit card, buy whatever you want, just don't phone us. Just don't phone. You have whatever you need for the year, don't be in touch. How would a child feel? So for an initial moment, it's still great, I can buy whatever I want. But then often he says, no, but I want to phone you. And then when he phones his parents, parents say, what do you want? We gave you a credit card. You can buy whatever you want. You shouldn't be phoning us. It's, oh, dad, mom, can I talk? No, we gave you, we provided for you. What more do you want from us? No, but I want a relationship. So Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, but I want a relationship. So he designed the world in a way where you're always lacking. Like someone coming and giving the food, giving, paying the money for the parents, checking in, how are you? Like Kodesh Baruch Hu did a gift to man. So we often see the curse of Adam Rishon as a curse. Now, a curse could be a punishment, or it could be a tikkun. There's two different ways you can see what punishment is. If a child does something wrong, like for example, they leave a mess on the floor, and the parent slaps them, there is no connection between the slapping and the leaving the things on the floor. There's no connection. It's a punishment. There's no connection. Like, why? Because of a slap. What? If I leave something on the floor, I have to get slapped? What's the connection? So the parent, the child doesn't understand it. But if they leave something on the floor, and the parent says, okay, if that's the way that you run the world, that's the way we're on the world as well, and the parents never go in to clean the kids' room, and even though there's a cleaner in the house, they tell the cleaner, don't go to the kids' room. So the kid sees, it's a natural consequence. Meaning if I leave a mess, or let's say like in the dormitories, the women are willing to do sponge on the floor, clean the floor. But if there's things lying on the floor, they won't. Right, so then it's a natural consequence. That if you see that you've left something on the floor won't be clean. It's logical, it makes sense. The curse of Adam HaRishon, was that a punishment or was it a tikkun? Was it a natural consequence? So you could say it was just random. You sinned by ignoring Hashem, so now you have to work for a living. Or you can understand that it's actually a perfect tikkun. Perfect tikkun. Hashem recognized Adam HaRishon didn't recognize him enough. Didn't have a relationship enough. So what did he say? You won't have food. Now what's going to happen? Hashem, I need you. Hashem, I need you. Hashem, I need you. Hashem, I need you. It's not a random slap. It's a perfect tikkun. It's exactly fixing what needs to be fixed. Adam was hiding from Hashem. Didn't recognize Hashem. So Hashem says, okay, no hiding anymore. No hiding. You're going to always be calling out to me constantly, constantly. The first reason why Hashem made us lacking in food was just a test to see how we're going to respond. The second reason was in order we'll have a constant relationship with Him, we'll always feel dependent on Him, always feel to calling out to Him, needing the relationship with Him. That's a design which is not a punishment. It's not a bad thing that we need food. If you use it well and you call out to Hashem whenever you feel a lack, then you will have a constant relationship with the Kodesh Baruch. Yes. Anyone who wants to go daven now, you want to go, you're welcome. Feel free to go. If you have a question, you're welcome to go.
Are all punishment really a tikkun?
You should always assume there is a good.
I don't know of any that aren't.